So, what I want to speak to you about this morning is this. A few weeks ago, I got challenged with a question about my life. And I want to share this question with you on the hope that it might challenge your life a little. And this is the question. Are you ready? If you're taking notes, this is the question. Where do I draw my value from, or my worth from, or my strength from? Where do I draw my value, my worth, and my strength from? Or what or who do I lean on when life gets tough? What's the thing that I rest into and rely on when, you know, when days are rubbish, when weeks are rubbish, when the whole season is rubbish? What do I actually lean into? And I was challenged to think about this again. And for those of you who know me, I thought, well, if I'm going to think about this question properly, I need to make a list. Do you do that? No. Well, I do. I make lists. Who makes lists when you have something? A few of the rest of you need to get more organized and make more lists. Right. So I made a list about who or what I draw my value, worth, and strength from. So the top of my list was this: people, relationships. I'm blessed to be married to an amazing wife called Michelle. I have no idea where I'd be without her. I genuinely wouldn't. She's seen me through the good days and through the terrible days, and always been there for me and encouraged me on and believed in me. I have other close and dear friends, some family, some not family. And, you know, I was thinking, you know, I am actually really blessed. I'm blessed to have a great wife and great friends and family around me, great parents. My mum and dad are here, and they're always, always there for us. Whatever it is, they're in. And, you know, with that mixture of wisdom and tough love, it's definitely a combination of both, which is what you need. It's what you need. It's what you need. And, you know, actually, we need great friendships. And I've talked about it before. And actually, having great friendships to get some worth and value and to lean into is exactly where we should be as human beings. We need great friendships. I think that's a good thing for to have. And I've said before, building friendships takes time and energy. It takes putting yourself out there. And if you don't have any good, healthy friendships, I want to encourage you to develop some, because it will be very, very good for you as a human being. Whether or not you're Christian or not, we need good friends. We need good friends within our lives. So that was top of my list. Second on my list was this, because I'm a bloke. I put work and being busy. Work and being busy. Now, some of the girls will go, no, I'm in for that as well. Some of you are like, no, work is definitely nothing I draw. I just put up with it. But for me, work, I get worth from my work. I get value from it because I enjoy achieving stuff. I actually quite like doing this role. Pastor Dave's not here. He's on holiday somewhere in the country. He's been to Spain, but he's back now somewhere in the country. You know, and when Dave stands here, playing his cool electric guitar, whether he's here and he's you know, encouraging us and preaching to us, whatever he's doing, I sit there and I don't go, man, I'm awesome, I've made Dave the way he is. I don't think like that. But I've known Dave for 16 years, which is a long time, right? And throughout those years, I've had chance to input into his life as a friend, as a pastor, as a whatever. And I go, in at least part, have helped Dave become the man he is. And that's an awesome feeling. I get worth out of my job. I hope you get worth out of your job. I get worth out of being busy as well. You talk to my wife, I like being busy. I like doing lots of stuff. About 18 months ago, I thought, you know, we could really do with a building on the field where we have the bonfire on the farm, which is coming in November, by the way. And so I thought, I need to build a building. I thought, I need to build a building that can hold everybody. So I went into the field and I paced out. I did literally pace it out. And I got to, I can't do it here because I ran out of room, but I did 3 14s, which is a lot. Who said a lot? 42. And then I went 42 that way. And I thought, So I went to get some posts and I put a post in each corner and then I viewed it. Yes, that will do. I'll do it. Little did I know how much work it would take. But 18 months later, it's not finished. But there's a pretty decent building there. It's a bit ramshackled, I know. It's not all shiny, but it's dry and it's useful and it's a building. And perhaps I shouldn't. I go back and I go, that's a cool building. And I didn't quite build all of it. The boys helped and other people have helped along the way. Better say that, otherwise they'll tell me off at some point. So, but I go, and do you know, I think God made us to get value out of working hard and being busy. I really think he did. I genuinely do. And I think that's okay to get some value and worth from working hard. I think it's actually a gift from God. Otherwise, we'd just be sat around all day wondering what we're supposed to be doing. But God has given the ability to. Even before the fall, for those of you who know your Bibles, God gave us work to do in the garden. Good, pleasant work, but gave us purpose and meaning. Now, I would like to add that perhaps I work a little bit too hard at times, and I get a bit too busy at times, and that's not healthy. But the principle still stands that some good hard work is good for you. And so if you've got a job, enjoy it. If you don't like your job, change it. If you don't have a job, get one. Everybody's covered, right? Yes, good. On to the third thing of my list. Do you know I get some worth out of being healthy? I know. I know over the years I've been slightly heavy. Though I'd like to say I'm working on that, which is good. But I've always been fairly fit, so I've been able to do stuff. I can do a bit more at the moment because I'm a little bit more less weighty. And you see, I'm still not thin. That's a really annoying thing. Do you know if you're losing weight and you have to lose, it's like, I'm not kind of okay, but I'm not fat. Anyway, the thing is, I think for me personally, I get some self-worth and value out of being healthy and be able to do things physically. I took our ELS group up to Parlick on Thursday, which some of you done that course will remember it well, and falling down on the way back down again, yes. And I took the top, and I was early, and across the way, for those of you who know the top of Parlick, there's Fair Snake Fell, isn't there, with a pile of stones on. And I thought, ooh, I've got 35 minutes. I wonder if I can get there and back in that time. Can I tell you, it's really hard to do it in 35 minutes. I had to run all the way back. And I was very hot and sweaty when I got back. I did get back on time, which Dave Parkey will attest to. I was there to about the second, wasn't I? And was. But man, I was worn out. But when I eventually got over being as you are, I felt like I ran all the way back pretty much. That's really cool. And I got some self-worth. And I think that's okay. I think there's something about looking after yourself in whatever. And you go, you know, some people, I don't personally put the makeup on and go, man, I look quite cool. And that's good, because God made you to have a good self-worth. And being healthy is a good thing. And I think as Christians and as people, we can draw some worth from it. And then, next on my list is stuff. I hate to mention stuff, but I get a bit of self-worth from stuff. Again, perhaps it's just a bloke thing, but I think the girls like stuff as well. And, you know, a bit of stuff, whatever that is. And I was thinking, what stuff do I like? I like my house. I quite like my house. It's like, oh, it's a good house. I like my house. It's nice. Bit worth it. I like my car. I've driven a lot of bangers in my life. I have. I mean, some terrible ones. I mean, one was so bad, it was like a James Bond machine. When you set off from junctions, you got a big cloud of smoke out the exhaust, like you got a smoke machine on it. It was a wreck, it was. I won't tell you why, I'm just going to talk to my father why we got it. But anyway, it was a James Bond machine. 1 pint of gallon for about 8 pints of petrol. No, sorry, 1 pint of oil for eight pints of petrol. Yes, roughly, about 1 in 8 I had to keep putting in the engine to keep the smoke machine going. Lots of stories about that one. Anyway, I like my car. It's like, oh, I like my car. At last, it's not a girl bus, it's a proper man car. Yeah, if you're a parent, a mum bus. You know, blokes, you got kids, you have to drive a mum bus. Nah, I've got a proper car again. Oh. And the thing is, you could say, oh, pastor, that's bad. And there's definitely a bad side to it. You can get that totally out of balance, for sure. But I think God gives us good gifts to enjoy. I genuinely do. I don't think God gives you things and says, but you can't enjoy it. I know you're on holiday, but you don't enjoy it. I think God says, no, you can go on a holiday and enjoy it. You can have a car and enjoy it. You can have a house and enjoy it. You can wear nice clothes and enjoy them. I think they're good gifts from God to be enjoyed, as long as they're in the right place. Now, I'm not claiming to have everything in my life in the right place. I'm just saying that I get some value and worth from it. Is this good? I'm going somewhere with this. The final one on my list was this. Now, you might think this is a bit weird, but it reflects who I am. I get lots of value and worth on being on my own. Private solitude. It helps me be me. I get more healthy, some just hanging on my own for a bit, sorting through stuff. It helps me be me, and I draw strength from that and value. And some of you go like, yeah, that's me. I really enjoy that. And I was thinking about this and thinking, that's good. It gives me some thinking time, put things in perspective, process stuff so my brain can slow down a little while I'm on my own. Now, I don't like oceans of time on my own. I'm not going to do like a day retreat. I mean, that sounds a horrible thing to do. Let's spend all day on my own. Really? No. But some of you go like, yes. And I could do two or three all by myself, for sure. Because that's who you are. Perhaps I'm going like a week or a month. I like some, but not too much. But I like some. And you see, I think that's good. I think that's God's made us like that so that we can process things, so we can kind of renew the inner self. I'm actually fascinated that spirituality is a general kind of word and thing is actually gaining credence in the world. There's a recognition that you need to somehow have meditation type time to kind of restore the soul. Time on your own, because it's the way we're made. And it's actually good and healthy for us to do. Again, you can get it out of, if you want to spend eternity on your own, you need to stop it and come back into reality. But so there's a balance. But I think it's good and healthy. Now, of course, there is the place of overthinking. You can't spend too much on your own and go down a spiral. You see, because all these five things are great in the right place. Now, and I think all those five are very helpful for me and perhaps helpful for you, which is why I shared them. But this question came from somewhere, okay? It didn't kind of... I do get questions that ping up in my mind, as you do, but most of my questions in life come from somewhere. And I was reading through the Gospel of John. This has been my last kind of book to read through. And I was in John chapter 15 in the Bible, and this is what it says. Jesus speaking to his disciples. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. And he said, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. And he says this, remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, says Jesus, and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Not just some fruit, much fruit. And apart from me, you can't do anything. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. That's a cool promise, by the way. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Then it goes on to say, as the Father loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love is no one than this, that he lays down his life for his friends. And Jesus is saying, that's what I'm about to do for you. That's how much I love you and how much my friendship is worth. Verse 14, you are my friends if you do what I command, and I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command, love each other. And after I read that, I asked the question, what am I drawing my value, my worth, and my strength from? What am I leaning into in my darkest, in my worst seasons of life? What am I leaning into? And I came up with my list of five things. And there's one thing that's common to all of them. They're all temporary. Did you notice that? They're all temporary. None of them will last. Relationships will eventually fail. I don't know whether you read the internet this morning, but the oldest person in Britain has died. She was 114 and a half. Her 85-year-old son said, 114 and a half. Because obviously, I don't know why the half's significant, but he said a half. And she lost her husband 40 years ago, which I recommend she was 74. Is that right? Yeah, don't ask Claire. She's still working. She's working out on the calculator on her phone. I know, it was a bit mean. Sorry. But 74, she could have been married for 50 years. 50 years and still be a widow for 40 years. That's wow. But relationships don't last. For all sorts of good and terrible reasons. They don't last. They're temporary. Jobs don't always last, do they? People get jobs, people lose jobs. Especially today, actually, I think jobs are much more temporary than they were, say, 40, 50 years ago. They just start. Health comes and goes. I'm approaching my 50th year. I have more chance of it going than it coming, I think, probably, at my age. But it will eventually go. It's temporary. I don't know about you, but it's good to have some stuff, some wealth, some reserves, but it's much easier to spend money than make it. And if we keep spending it, one day it will all be gone. All our stuff will have gone. And even our solitude time, there's no guarantee that we'll continually be able to work through things on our own. We'll come to a point where we hit something where we go, I can't process this by myself or even with great friends. I have come to the end of my abilities, which is why the spirituality and the meditation thing in the world won't work, because it has its limits. It is because it's a temporary thing, because it's dependent on temporary beings. And see, this passage, Jesus says, you can remain in me. You can draw your strength, you can draw your value, your worth from me. And this is the key thing, and I am eternal. I will not let you down. And the thing is, we can't add our relationship with Jesus onto the rest of the things that help sustain us, which is so tempting as a human being. I will add Jesus to my friends and my job and my health and all those kind of things. What we have to do is the other way around. We have to put Jesus' relationship first, and then we add the temporary things on. So that if all the temporary things go, what are we left with? We're left with the eternal relationship with Jesus. Now, I haven't got time, but if I had time, I would take you through the four things that Jesus promises to give us in this passage. And there's lots others beside. If you notice in verse 9, he says that I will give you love. Love from God, the source of all love. I will give you a guaranteed perfect love into your life every day if you remain in me. I don't know about you. That is an amazing promise that I would love to take up. He talks about in verse 11 that he'll give us joy. Not a temporary happiness, but an internal joy that bubbles up inside. One that the disciples live in, and the rest of kind of Acts and into the letters in the Bible. It talks about how those early disciples who remained in Jesus in all circumstances were content. There's that amazing story where Paul and Silas, they were preaching and telling people about Jesus, and they got arrested and beaten up. And then when they were all bruised and smashed up, they got thrown in chains in a jail, a dark, damp, horrible jail. It says in the middle of the jail, the worst bit, the most secure bit, they were sat there. And what were they doing just after midnight? They were singing and praising God. Why? Because there was a joy inside them that nothing could extinguish. Why? Because they were in the they had a relationship with Jesus. And nothing. And that's what Jesus says you get from being. He talks about a friendship. I was thinking about this morning, and in verse 40, I was thinking, you know, if Prince William knocked on my door tomorrow and said, "Hey Ed," I go, "You look awfully like Prince William." He goes, "Yes, that's me." I go, "Oh, nice to meet you, Your Majesty." He's supposed to bow, aren't you? Nice to meet you. He goes, "No, no, no." He said, "I was thinking I need some more friends. Would you like to be my friend?" How long do you think it would take me to figure out whether this was a good plan or not? Like, a second, 5 seconds, 10 seconds, an hour, a day, a week, a month? I think less than a second. 0.24, I think, is about the fastest response time of a human being, unless you're really, really good, and it's a little bit faster. I think about that long. Be like, done. Prince William wants to be my friend. I'm in. Don't know what that means quite yet, but I'm still in. And God says to you, if you're in me, I will be your friend. You're still king, still ruler of the universe, still our king, still our master, our Lord. But Jesus said, if we're in him, he will be our friend. Oh, I'm in. That, wow, a friend that won't fail me. He's just said what a friend will do, lay down his life. And Jesus says, I will be your friend and I will lay down my life for you. Wow, cool. And then he talks about, and then Jesus says, and I will reveal everything that my Father has told me. Well, Jesus is God. Jesus knows everything. That means everything I need to know to live my life well and successfully. If I remain in him, he'll give to me. Am I kind of coming home with you? What am I going to get my value, my worth, my strength from? What's the key thing? The other things are important. That's why I listed them. But for me, the key thing is to remain in Jesus at all times. Because the result of that is fruitfulness. That's what that passage says. You will be fruitful. Fruitful in two ways. You will become who you're supposed to be, character-wise. And you'll also be able to do the things you're supposed to do. You'll be fruitful in both areas of life. If you want to be an amazing businessman, get plugged into Jesus. If you want to be an amazing mom, get plugged into Jesus. If you want to be an amazing professor, get plugged into Jesus. If you want to be an amazing dentist or teacher or whatever it is, plug into Jesus. If you want to be successful at helping other people find who Jesus is, you need to plug into Jesus. It fulfills every need in every occupation across all of time. It just does. It helps us to be fruitful. And I want to be fruitful, and I'm convinced that everybody in this room wants to be fruitful. I've never met somebody who says, I just want to stuff my life up and be a complete disaster. Those people don't exist. It happens to people, but they don't want it to. They do anything to go back and relive that bit that didn't work. We want to actually be successful in living a life. We want to be able to have great relationships. We want to be able to have enough money. Because those things, they're not just human desires, they're God-given desires that he's given us. And God, if we plug into him, will then release those things into our life. So the question is, where do I draw value and worth and strength from? Who do we lean on, or what do we lean on when life goes pear-shaped, when it goes off tangent? Well, for many, very, very many years, I have put Jesus at the center and put the temporary things around me the best I could. And I think that's the way to do. And so I need to finish and answer the final question, which you've all been asking if you've been thinking is, well, so how do I remain in Jesus? Obviously, that's the biggest question of all. Well, it's why church exists, as most of you know. It's why we're here, to help you not just know that God loves you and know that he's for you and know that he believes in you, wants to make you fruitful, but actually to tell you how. And Jesus says a couple of times in that passage, he says, just do what I ask you to do and it will all work out fine. He talks about follow my commands, but that's all he's saying. And Andy stands up and says, you know, when I was 5 years old, I gave my life to Jesus. I meant it, and for the rest of my life, I followed him. How come a five-year-old can make a decision to remain in Jesus for the rest of their life? Why? It's really simple. It's almost too simple for the adult mind to comprehend. It's incredibly difficult at the same time, but it's almost too simple. If you want to remain in Jesus, if you want to have the benefits of love, the joy, the other things I talked about, you just need to ask every day, Jesus, what do you want me to do? Jesus, what do you want me to do? That's it. It's so easy and so difficult all at the same time. But it's definitely very knowable. It's very knowable. Michelle and I have followed Jesus, well, for as long as we've known each other. And the only thing we can say is, man, it's been amazing. As God has led us and guided us. And our lives aren't perfect. We've made mistakes along the way. We haven't followed everything God's called us to do. But in general, we have. And in general, it's been pretty cool. But I'm utterly convinced, if you, from now on, decide that you're going to draw your value and your strength and your worth, in those tough times, you'll lean into Jesus first and primarily, because he will never give. Everything else might give, but Jesus never will. If you're willing to do that, then he will release all those things. They will pour into your life. They will flow into your life as the days, the weeks, the months, and the years go by and make your life fruitful. So when you finish it, not only will you go like, man, I did a good job. People around you will go, man, he did a good job. And God himself will go, my child, you did an awesome job. And all we need to do is follow God, follow Jesus day by day, asking God, what do you want me to do today?